the police report had indicated that she had done something weird. She hadn't just bought a gun to protect herself from an abusive husband. She had bought herself a gun from a gun store about an hour away, an unnecessarily long trip to get a gun.
Absolutely. And one of the things she did is she walked into to the gun store and said, "Well, I'd like to get a pistol." And the clerk remonstrated with her and said, "Look, what do you need the pistol for?" And she said, "Well, I'm going to shoot coyotes." He said, "Well, you don't need a pistol for coyotes. You need a rifle. Everybody knows that." And she said, "Oh, no, that I have a very wily coyote, and I need to have a pistol because he'll see me with a rifle," which is everybody in that part of the country knows that you really do need a rifle to shoot coyotes.
Because you shoot a pistol, you got to be pretty darn close to get a coyote, and coyotes tend to be very suspicious of people.
Yes. And so what really caught my interest even further, though, was as you step back and you start looking at the dynamics of this whole case, one thing that I found very interesting was that Carol Alden was planning to use something called the battered woman defense. And that actually is what brought the state to having to acquiesce to her receiving a sentence of manslaughter instead of first degree murder, just because she would have been able to use this defense, even though there's so much evidence of premeditation.
She knew that the trapdoor existed legally for her to be able to say, "He was abusive. I had to kill him in order for him to, you know, to leave me alone. It was my only hope." And then hopefully either play upon the sympathies of the investigating police officers, the prosecuting attorneys, or worst case scenario, a jury.
Right. And the thing is, people who worked around individuals like this, the prosecutors and the police and so forth, they're pretty hard to fool. And indeed, in this case, my hat's off to the investigating detective, Richard Jacobson, just did a fantastic job of figuring out what was going on. And then Mike Wims, the special prosecutor for the state of Utah, and Pat Nolan and Pat Finlinson, they all did a fabulous job of trying to unearth what had actually happened, despite her Carol Alden's ability to spin new story after new story as they uncovered evidence that falsified each of the previous stories.
All right, so what did they find? What was it that she had done?
Well, it looks like what she tells her supporters, and there are many, is that she first shot her husband in the head as he was charging towards her, and then in the back. But she doesn't tell her supporters what she told police, which is what the forensic evidence shows. And that is, the first shot was in the back, and then the second shot was a coup de grace right through the top of the head as he was lying there. So she spins a story that allows her supporters to believe her, and they don't go check the evidence for what actually happened. What's really a problem out of all of this, and going back, is the children. Think about it. This woman, not only did she kill her husband and live in a sadomasochistic relationship, and she actually had a trunk of sadomasochism equipment in her living room with appalling filth all around. That's where her children lived. And she's clearly a very disturbed individual, although it's only clearly in retrospect when she has the killing. Before that time, she was always able to present herself as the perfect mother. She loved her children so much. But she really she should have been the last person around those children, because certainly the environment she was bringing them up with, she was always affiliating with drug addicts who she would, she was supposedly helping these drug addicts. But how is it helping your children when you get into the washing machine, you're washing clothes, and you find heroin needles around? I mean, how is that doing? But yet the children would never be removed from her care because she could portray herself as this loving mother despite all evidence to the contrary.
What are we missing? What's the piece of the story, though? Why aren't we just looking at this, the real example that you use in the book, Cold-Blooded Kindness, to frame this discussion? Why don't we just look at Carol Alden as somebody who's just a cold-blooded killer? I mean, and that's all, just somebody who just thought, you know, I can get away with this. I hate this guy. I already got a boyfriend. What do I got to worry about? What's the missing piece to that?
The missing piece, I think, is the fact that her children truly loved her, at least some of her children. And I do think that somewhere deep within that very, well, let's call it poorly wired outlook of hers, that she does have some basic bits of human decency, and she was trying to use those, but they came out in a really a fashion that wasn't helpful for her, and it certainly wasn't helpful for others.
No.
And it was often deeply self-serving, but it's not like she chose to be that way herself. She was reacting to some extent based on her internal wiring, which was always problematic. She often she created problems pretty much throughout her adult life.
Right, that's the part I'm getting at. So she was somebody who created these scenarios that she could then play out, she could live in, because she knew who she was when she was in certain scenarios, but not in others.
A person who knew her very well said, there's this really irrational, nutty part of her, and that's the part that makes the decisions. And then the rational part of her or herself helps her to carry out those nutty decisions.
I thought
that was pretty perceptive.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All of us have a tendency to we get this sense of righteousness or certitude about something. And so we're just sure. Now, that's actually based on emotion. And we get this feeling this is the right thing to do, and then we can react based on that feeling in a rational fashion. But all of it is actually rather irrational, because we've started from an irrational premise. We're just carrying out irrational sorts of actions. And I think that's the kind of thing that Carol Alden was doing. But it's also a lesson for all of us to step back and look at what are we really deciding to do when we're helping people? Is it truly helping people?